So Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, we'll read 1 through 8. Let me remind you, because we have a pronoun, he was telling them that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. We know that from the context of chapter 17. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that teaches us once again on prayer. We pray that you would remind us what we have already learned from your word, how we are to pray. And we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, change our hearts, sanctify us, make us like Christ by the power of your word. Make us praying people. God, I pray for those who are here who have lost heart, who are faint, who grow weary. I pray that they would be encouraged by the instruction that you give here in your word, by the comfort of your Holy Spirit. For all of us who tend to lose heart, to grow weary in well-doing, to be discouraged, we pray that what we hear from your word today would not go into our ears and then leave us, but would stay, would stick, would be an encouragement to us the next time we are tempted to faint. We ask these things in the name of Christ for his sake. Amen. So today we consider this first verse. We look into these words that Jesus gives us, and we will, in this passage today, I consider this more of an introduction to this passage, I guess, but as we do this, we'll look at several passages of Scripture. So we'll be in the New Testament, so keep your Bibles handy and keep your page-turning fingers nimble, and we will be moving around a little bit. We read in verse 1 here in the text, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. At all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Pray and not lose heart. And we have to admit that often we don't pray enough. We don't pray well enough. And we do lose heart. Now, it may be reasonable. I mean, if we think about what a Christian should think like, what a Christian should act like, a Christian who understands their former plight in sin as a son of Adam, a Christian who understands that they had a great need for a Savior before God, a Christian who has heard and knows and understands the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of God's elect, one might think that we would never lose heart. Having come to faith in Christ, repenting of sin, you might say, shouldn't a Christian be in a constant state of worship, in a constant state of gratefulness of heart, thanksgiving and praise to God, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what comes? You'd think that we should have a heavenly perspective, having tasted of the blessings of God's great salvation, that we would be different from the way that you know we really are. And we must acknowledge that we are in a progressive sanctification. That we are growing in sanctification, mortifying sin on our way to glory. So we are, by the grace of God and to God's praise, not what we will be. But too often, Christians, we forget God's blessing. Too often we look at the things below, the things around us, the things of this world, and we get down in the dumps. We get discouraged. We're like Peter, who looked at the raging sea. The Bible tells us he saw the wind and the waves. I've always liked that. He saw the wind. He saw the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. We're like that too many times. We look at the storms that rage around us, and we begin to sink in discouragement. We grow weary. We grow faint. We lose heart. We grow weary. We grow faint. We lose heart. I use those terms intentionally so that we can understand the language of the text before us. When we read the words, in my translation, New American Standard, it says lose heart. I think in most of your translations, it uses that same term, to lose heart. The term means to be weak, to have a faint heart or a failing heart. Not physically, but in our spirit, to lack spirit, to be exhausted. It's found translated in our English translations in several places as lose heart, as grow weary, or to faint. The literal meaning, it may not help us a lot, but it should help us a little, to be batted out. To be batted out. When I came across that, I thought of Pastor Brent. He has a saying that I've never heard before. I'm dinged out. That's just a Freeman saying as far as I know. But I'm dinged out. And if you hang out with him and build fence, you'll find that he will get dinged out. And everybody gets dinged out. When we understand what this means, it's I'm tired. The wind is out of my sails. It's being on a low limb. We have all kinds of different ways to express this feeling, but we all know what it's like. We all know that term, whatever we call it, to be faint, to be weak in spirit, to lose heart. We know what it is. So this text is a great help to us, and we can be encouraged even in those times. We can be encouraged that the Bible has instruction for us and offers the remedy, offers the medicine, if you will, for our discouragement. We see here that those feelings should motivate us. Sometimes those feelings of just being batted out, just being faint of heart, to grow weary, sometimes we are demotivated. But this text tells us that we should be motivated. We should find a motivation in those times to prayer. When we feel dissatisfaction, when we feel discouragement, we find ourselves in need of help, in need of deep help. This text tells us to pray. We should note that Jesus uses a parable to show this. The parable is there, but the verse before us today is a Christian's duty. It says we ought to pray and not lose heart. We ought. That could be stated. We must. It's imperative that we not lose heart and that we pray at all times. He was telling them the parable to show at all times they are to pray and not lose heart. It's not very often that we find a parable of Christ in Scripture that gives us the meaning up front. But here we have that. This is what this parable is for, to show us that we ought to pray at all times and not lose heart. And it says at all times, at all times. If we just said you ought to pray, then everyone would say amen. All the time we could agree to you ought to pray. But can we agree all the time that we ought to pray at all times and not lose heart? There are times when we are prone to lose heart. There are days when we have a tendency to faint. Situations arise and we grow weary. We may even feel overwhelmed. And the temptation is to give in to those overwhelming feelings. But this verse says, at all times, pray and don't lose heart. At all times, pray. At all times, don't lose heart. So I want us to consider the times that it's easy to pray and not lose heart. But consider also the times that it's difficult to pray and not lose heart. Let's consider the causes of losing heart. What tempts us to faint? Where does this discouragement come from? So this morning, as we consider what causes us to faint, what causes us to lose heart, we're not going to turn to human wisdom. We'll go to the Scripture, and we will see what we can learn from Scripture. The Bible uses this term, as I mentioned, translated to faint, to lose heart, to grow weary in different places. And we're going to examine, six texts, and we'll see the cause for Christians losing heart. The first text that we will look at is before you in Luke 18:1. The first cause for a Christian to lose heart is oppression. And here we find this woman oppressed. He was telling them this parable, and this woman is oppressed by someone who is a legal opponent, stronger than her, more powerful, and she finds herself helpless, weak, and oppressed. Perhaps you know what it is to be oppressed by some stronger, more powerful one. The first cause in this text for losing heart as a Christian is oppression. But if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find this terminology again. It's stated, do not lose heart. But it's the same idea, and we're going to see here another cause for Christians to be tempted to lose heart. We'll read together verses 1 through 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Okay, 1 through 10 is what that sounds like. We'll read together verses 1 through 10. Listen, opposition is the word here. Christians are tempted to lose heart because of oppression, we saw. Now here we see opposition. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. There's our term. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7, remember, we're looking here at opposition. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted or pressed in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. So hold your finger there, because we're going to return to that for our next point, to that same passage. But let's note in what we've read already in verses 7 to 10, we read these words: we are afflicted, pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. These things are opposition. This is opposition that Paul and his fellow travelers had faced. Strong opposition. And these things tend to lead us to discouragement or dissatisfaction. When Paul says we do not lose heart, it's not because it never crossed his mind or because it never was in a temptation. It was there to lose heart. So if we want to see this truth in our lives, maybe this has a ring of truth in your life. Have you met opposition? Have you been knocked out? Have you been afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down? Well, not in the same way that Paul has, but maybe in some other ways you have met this sort of opposition. So one thing that may cause Christians to lose heart, to faint, is opposition. But while we're here, I don't want to leave this passage without pointing out here, Paul says we do not lose heart. And then that full text that we read counts the encouragements that displaced the faint-heartedness. His heart is strengthened. His weariness is turned to rest. And he considers these things. Look in verse 2. He walks by the manifestation of truth. Verse 3 and 4. Though the gospel is veiled to many, the eyes of the believer have been opened to hear. And in verse 5, the preaching of Christ as Lord and ourselves as bondservants for Christ's sake. These things are an encouragement to Paul. Then in verse 6, he reminds us that God is the one who has shown the light of the gospel in our hearts, given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Even here he says, we do not lose heart. It's not because the temptation wasn't there. It's because of those other overwhelming blessings that we read. It's important to us, for us to remember as we come to God in prayer. Our Luke 18 text instructs us to pray at all times. And as we come to God in prayer, as the remedy for this losing heart, this faint-heartedness, we see here as well that prayer is not just saying things to God. I need to define that more. It's more than just expressing your distress. It's more than just, God, I'm dissatisfied. It's also recounting and giving thanks for what He has done. Pray at all times, but don't just make it a complaining session. Paul is recounting the things that God has done. And prayer, one element of prayer, an important element, is a realignment of our heart, of our spirit, with His Spirit by His Word. Christians may be tempted to be faint-hearted because of oppression, because of opposition. Look in verse 16, if you're still in 2 Corinthians 4. We see the term again in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. What is the temptation to lose heart here? The outer man is decaying. This is deterioration. This is just... Now, some of you may not know this yet, but I'm looking around. Some of you do. Some of you know more of deterioration. That physical decaying that Paul speaks of. Sometimes it's just the physical that gets us down. The aches and the pains, the I can't go anymore, the tiredness that comes on quicker than it seems that it used to. Christians, we may be tempted to lose heart, to faint, because of physical deterioration. If you continue to live on this world, you'll get there. Opposition, oppression, deterioration. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We find again this term, this statement of losing heart, let us not lose heart. We'll read Galatians chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 6 through 10. This context is very good. Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Sowing and reaping. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not lose heart. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You ever get there where you say, I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing my thing. When do I begin to reap the benefits? I mean, the Bible says, it says right here in Galatians 6 that we reap what we sow. And if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Over and over we see that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. I'm doing all those things, but when will I reap? And we forget the principles, the three important principles of sowing and reaping. The important principles of sowing and reaping in no particular order are: we reap later than we sow. We sow. Now, how many of you expect to sow? Sow a seed today and reap tomorrow. We reap later than we sow, and sometimes we can get frustrated waiting on the harvest, waiting on the reaping. But we sow and we reap later than we sow. Another principle is we reap more than we sow. You should remember that when we are sowing to the flesh, when we are sowing seeds of sin, that you reap more than you sow. You buy a tiny packet of seeds for your garden, you don't expect to get a tiny packet of tomatoes or cucumbers. You expect to get much more. You sow and you reap much more. And this text here in Galatians tells us that we sow and then we reap in kind. If you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. You reap in kind. Sometimes we grow weary in well-doing, waiting on the reaping. Psalm 13 says this, and it expresses, and it's important for us to understand, when you have those feelings, Lord, how long is it going to be like this? How long am I going to feel like you've forgotten where I live? You ever feel like that? That feeling is not a sinful feeling if you handle it properly, if you respond, if you do the right thing with that. We see those feelings in the Psalms, but we see them turned in the right direction. Look, Psalm 13, listen to these words. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? That's faint-heartedness. That's growing weary in well-doing. That's losing heart. He continues, consider and answer me, O my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. And then verse 5 says, but, and here's where we see a change, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. Let me just recount what we're seeing here in Psalm 13. This faint-heartedness, this growing weary in well-doing, this discouragement comes. And what is this psalm? A prayer. He prays, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Though he may have begun in frustration, he ends in thanksgiving. He ends in praise to God. Another cause for our faint-heartedness, for our losing heart, is found in Ephesians chapter 3. It's just one verse, chapter 3, verse 13. We may lose heart, we may faint because of tribulation. And I don't mean tribulations of our own self. That would be caught up in opposition. That could be in frustrations. But because of the tribulations of others. When we look and see either brothers and sisters in Christ we know personally who go through tribulations and trials and difficulties, we can lose heart because of that. When we see Christians persecuted around the world, we can lose heart because of that. But Ephesians 3:13, we read these words, "Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." Here we see that one possible cause of losing heart for the Ephesians was Paul's tribulation. You may see the tribulations of fellow believers and be tempted to lose heart. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is one that perhaps you have experienced in your own life. Exasperation with fellow Christians. Exasperation with your brothers and sisters in Christ and their shortcomings. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. "For we hear that some among you are leading undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread." So you get the idea there. Some are mooching off of others. Let's just sit down and do nothing until the Lord comes. Verse 13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." Sometimes it's exasperating to see the spiritual shortcomings and failures of others. Let me finish verse 14. "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame." So we can, as Christians, lose heart, grow weary, become discouraged, become dissatisfied. These things may tempt even one who is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We may be tempted to offer excuses. Well, look at these circumstances. What else could I do but lose heart? And your circumstances become an excuse. Or the people, the situation that's come up, and you say, "Well, it's okay for me to give in, to grow weary, to lose heart, to faint." We may be tempted to complain, to murmur to others. Sometimes I think we may be tempted to withdraw, to just turn inward, isolate, block out everything. But Luke 18:1, our text says, we ought not to lose heart, but instead, we are to pray at all times. Remember, this is a command for every Christian. It's a command for you. As I said, those feelings are not necessarily sinful. They're just part of life. But how you deal with those things that arise, how you deal with those feelings, how we respond to difficulties in life, that may lead us to sin. May God forgive us for our sinful responses when we faint, when we lose heart, when we grow weary in well-doing. Let us today, Christians, resolve that we will, instead of losing heart, pray. Pray at all times. Our prayers will include praise, confession, thanksgiving, offering of petitions to God. When we express our desires to God as they are agreeable with His will, our catechism states it in that way. And the whole of Scripture is good for us in praying. But remember that Jesus gave us a model prayer. Jesus, when He was asked, "Teach us to pray," He gave us a pattern and a model. So I would invite you, even now, to join with me in praying the words of Christ in this model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.